You're welcome.
That's NPR's Eric Westerveld getting us the latest from Jerusalem. And now let's get the Israeli view on the conflict from Sally Meridor. He's Israel's ambassador to Washington. He's one of a number of voices we're hearing this week from all sides of the conflict. Welcome to the program to you, sir.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
Would you just tell us why Israel is opposed to this proposed 48-hour ceasefire?
Well, we are, as you know, for peace and for calm. And the ones who started this fire and announced breaking the ceasefire were Hamas. What we are interested in is a durable and sustainable arrangement where no rockets are being fired at Israel and no terrorist buildup is being made under the cover of a calm.
So, but why no ceasefire?
As I said before, what we're interested for is something that would be durable and sustainable, something that will not be used by the terrorists in order to extend the range and their deadly capacity, something that will not put now close to 1 million Israelis under a daily threat and active action of terror.
Ambassador, let me ask about something you said. You said Hamas broke the ceasefire. The Israeli version of events here is there was this ceasefire. It lasted several months. It expired, and Hamas was firing rockets into Israel, which provoked the Israeli response. That is the Israeli version. But also in this program today, we're hearing from Mustafa Barghouti. He's an independent Palestinian politician, as you know. And he says, actually, it was Israel, not Hamas, that violated that ceasefire. Let's listen.
There was a ceasefire which was supposed to stay for 6 months. And after the fourth month, the Israeli army started to strike Gaza, including, of course, assassination of people in the West Bank. And we've been warning that such attacks will provoke definitely a reaction.
Has Israel actually been going after Hamas for several months here?
Well, this is, you know, you should just look at the facts. Hamas themselves announced on December 19th that they were terminating the ceasefire, so there is no any question here about who put an end to the ceasefire. They, after having said that, and before Israel had to defend itself, launched 400 rocket and mortar attacks on Israel, refused to listen to our call to our prime minister, appeal to the Palestinians and in Gaza not to continue firing Israelis. So the question of who was violating this calm arrangement and who was launching rockets is very clear. The sole responsibility lies with Hamas. And what we are looking for is really a situation where Israelis can live with no daily fear and without being attacked like yesterday, a kindergarten in Be'er Sheva. Today, just minutes before we are talking, civilians in the city of Ashkelon, we have today close to 1 million Israelis under this this fire. The situation, the status quo that Hamas wanted to impose, which is that on one hand, Israelis are under fire. At the same time, they can shoot immune and uninterrupted and build terrible, deadly capacity. This just cannot be continued, maintained, or allowed. As
Ambassador,
would agree.
Ambassador, if I may interrupt you, forgive me. A couple of other questions.
Sure, sure.
We've just got a little bit of time before we have to go away. One of them is this. Palestinians are telling us this week that they think Israel's attacks on Hamas have actually strengthened the hand politically of Hamas. Are you worried about strengthening Hamas in the same way that Israel's war in Lebanon was said to strengthen Hezbollah in 2006?
Look, our purpose is to assure and protect the lives of our people. This is not a grand political scheme here. We're talking about something very basic, something that any one of us, if thought about himself or his children or her children or parents, being under such a terrible attack.
I understand about the missile attacks, but do you think you're strengthening the hand of Hamas politically? Is that a side effect?
We think that, and we know that over the last 3-4 days, we were hitting headquarters of Hamas, manufacturing of missiles facilities, storage houses of ammunition, tunnels through which they were smuggling weapons and explosives from Iran into Gaza. So we believe we do our utmost duty to damage their terrorist infrastructure and long-term capacity to inflict terror into Israel and destroy any chance for calm and for peace for
us. And when do you? When will you know that you're done?
Well, I think that this is quite a simple question to answer, if I may suggest. If Hamas were to stop using Gaza to build a terror base and to attack Israel every day, there would not be any need for Israeli defensive action. We were not initiating this. We were very, very restrained. We tried every effort possible in order to not to have to take such defensive actions.
But, Ambassador, thanks very much.
It came to a point that there was no choice.
Ambassador, forgive me for stopping you there, but thank you very much for taking the time.
I wish you good morning, and I hope everybody in Israel and in the Palestinian territories will have peace and calm.
Salai Meridor is Israel's ambassador to the United States and one of many voices we're hearing about the conflict on Morning Edition from NPR News.